Let's turn in our Bibles today, the book of Matthew, chapter 8. As we talk about the unclean become clean before God. Amen. When I was a kid, you know, I still remember. But we went, I don't know if you do, Arlen, but I do. Anyway, when we got dressed up to go to church on Sunday morning, we might not have had the finest, most expensive clothes, but we were clean. But in a spiritual sense, we all need to be clean, and only God can clean us up. Praise the Lord. And He does. Catch the fish, but God cleans them. Amen. Matthew chapter 8, verse 1, when he come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed, and Jesus said unto him, See that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Father, thank you, Lord, for your presence, your spirit here today, and I thank you, Lord, for your word. I pray that you'd open our heart, our life, our understanding to receive instruction in the scriptures. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The unclean can become clean before God. Of course, we're speaking spiritually here, cleansed from our sins, washed in the blood of Jesus. If you're in Texas, it's washed. If you're from the Northeast, it's washed. I don't care. But great multitudes followed Jesus wherever he went because they had seen his miracles and because of the power of his words. And the power of his words was amazing because we still read them today and they're still new every morning. Amen. I've read the Bible through a number of times, but God's word never gets old to me. I still want to see what Jesus said in the red, and I still want to see what he inspired in the black and red. Praise the Lord. And so people were astonished at his words. One fellow said, never a man spake like this man. And so Jesus spoke powerful words. Amen. Matthew 27, 28, and 29, he says, And when it was ended, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. He didn't preach one long, boring sermon. Please don't judge me. But Jesus spoke with authority. He spoke words of life. He spoke God-given, inspired words. Amen. And he still speaks today if we listen. Praise the Lord. And they were hearing more than just religious teaching. You can go anywhere in the world today and find religious teaching. It may not be scriptural teaching, but religious teaching. But this was different because these people were hearing the truth. They weren't hearing some dead, cold, legalistic message of what they should have been doing, and the people that were preaching to them wasn't doing it anyway. But they were hearing the truth, and the truth would make them free. Jesus said, you shall know the truth shall make you free. Amen. They were hearing words of the way, the truth, and the life. They were hearing Christ. And Jesus was speaking to their greatest need, and that was relationship with God. They were listening to a voice that in eternity past had spoken the world and the universe into existence. And so many things we don't even know about that God has done in eternity past and will do in eternity future. And he said in his word, So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, empty, but it shall accomplish the thing for which I sent it and the purpose for which I sent it. Now they heard words of true concern, true love, true care. And then the words of a certain man rang out, and those words were, "Unclean, I'm unclean." And Jesus paused to respond to those words. These words of Jesus reached a man that no one else would reach or reach out to. He reached out to a leper, one who carried a disease that was dreaded, an outcast of society, a rejected, unloved individual. But Jesus cared enough to listen to him. Man. And I want you to know, friend, he still cares about you individually today. You are important to God, and he's not partial to anyone. Amen. He didn't choose certain ones to be saved and certain ones to be lost. Jesus said, "Whosoever will may come and drink of the water of life freely." Amen. And so God gave it to us, and he still cares about you. And we will soon celebrate the incarnation, the coming of Christ. The Son of God became the Son of Man so that the sons of men might become the sons of God by new birth. John 1:14, the Word became flesh. God became humanity and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hallelujah. The Word became flesh, reason so that you and I, which were unclean, could be cleansed. My friend, I'm thankful for the cleansing power of God. Hallelujah. In verses 1 and 2 here, we find that wherever he went, multitudes followed him. Without question, he healed the sick, he raised the dead, he did all sorts of miracles. A man spoke like this man. I mean, he spoke and things happened. Man, he didn't just talk about miracles, he performed miracles. And behold, a leper came to him. And notice this leper worshipped him. Somewhere along the line, he believed that that Jesus was more than just another man. He was the Son of God. Somehow he'd come to faith in that. And he said, "Lord, I believe that if you're willing, you can make me clean. Even of leprosy, you can make me clean." The plight of the leper was sorrowful. In Leviticus, I just read, you know, I couldn't wait to get through. There's about 3 chapters there dedicated to leprosy. I felt like I'd been instructed in leprosy when I got done with them. But anyway, it describes there, the leper was a life that was one of sorrow. His clothes had to be torn, his head uncovered, his hair disheveled, and he had to cover his mustache and throw the skirt of his garment over it, and he warned people of his approach. It's a certain amount of steps. He had to cry out, "I'm unclean, I'm unclean." And nobody would come near a leper because they didn't want to catch this contagious disease. They didn't want to be in contact with the L word, leper. This leper could not be touched because it was a contagious disease. Is also hereditary. It was passed down from generation to generation. And the leper had to live outside the camp. He couldn't intermingle or mix with society. He could not live among the people. He had no social interaction with common people or people of society. The only people he could talk with was another leper. For him, there was no hope. He was ceremonially unclean, and so people just didn't want to be around a leper, for fear that they would catch his disease and die. But this leper knew that slowly but surely his joints would separate as the disease ate away at his life until he died a slow, painful death. Nobody wanted to be a leper. But this leper somehow got together the courage and said, "I'm going to get to Jesus one way or the other." He had probably heard of Jesus' miracles, all the healing that he had done, all the things. And maybe thought in my mind, if I can just get to Jesus, maybe he could even heal leprosy. There's no other cure for it, so I might as well try. I'm going to die anyway. And so he marched toward Jesus, we know. Praise the Lord. And leprosy in Scripture, if you go to the New Testament, it's a type of sin. or it's described as a type of sin, which slowly eats away at a person's life until that life is destroyed. And I'm not talking about physically, but spiritually. Sin eats away at a person's life until it consumes a person's life, and they are spiritually dead and unfit for heaven. Because that's what sin does to a person. You know, the devil has no good outcome of sin. He tempts people to sin. He hates people. He hates you. I just thought I'd remind you, the devil don't like you or me. But there's a way, and there's a deliverance that comes from Christ, the Son of God. Because you say, without Christ, we're unclean. We're unfit to enter God's holy heaven. His clean heaven. We're unfit to enter that place where He is. And it had not been for Jesus doing what He did on the cross, we would all, none of us would go to heaven. But without Christ, no hope, no eternal life, no heaven, only a godless eternity forever separated from the love and the mercy of God. That's hard to imagine. I don't want to imagine. I want to hear the truth that Jesus made it where we could enter His wonderful heaven. That He said, I have even go to prepare a place for you. I'm glad He does. Still preparing. It reminds me of illustration of the prodigal son. We know that a certain man had two sons. The one said to the father, give me the portion of my inheritance. And he went into a far country and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. And when he came home, he came to himself after he was tired of feeding pigs in the pig pen. Amen. I grew up on a farm. Didn't take very long to get tired of hogs. I'd like to send some of them to Arkansas. Anyway, whatever. Everything's a hog up there. But the prodigal son said, surely I can do better than this. In my father's house, even the slaves, the servants, they have food to eat and nothing and some left over. So he came from the far country and said, I'm going to go home to my father. I know he won't receive me. He probably won't even think of me as a son, but surely I can get some bread to eat. Surely I can eat better than the hogs. That's not the Bible. And so he came from a far country, but the far country had not treated him well. I'm sure that he left with plenty of money, but when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. Because he spent everything and he gained nothing, and the best that the devil could do for him was give him a hog pen's life. But he came when his father saw him afar off. The father came running. Amen. I preached a message one time on this called Mercy Came Running. Father came running. God, Father accepted him back. And the first thing the father did was cleaning him up because he was filthy. And he restored him to sonship, put a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet. He cleaned him up. God can do the same with people today, regardless of how far into sin they have gone. There is not anyone that God can't clean up if they want to be clean. I'm glad that God saved a wretch like me, a wretch like you, a wretch like everybody. Hey, we were all destined for eternal filthiness and ungodliness, but God gave us eternal washing and cleansing by His blood, and we're made clean and pure before God. Hallelujah. Let's notice the thing that Jesus did here that no other person would do. Jesus reached out to the leper. He didn't say, get away from me. I don't want what you have. I don't want that to say. I don't want leprosy. Get away from me. Jesus didn't do that. But no one else would come close or touch this man. But Jesus, when he was crucified, Jesus went where nobody else would go. He went, in the book of Hebrews, outside the camp. Jesus died for our sins, paid for our sins on the cross, outside the camp. And the leper had to remain outside the camp. Hebrews 13:10, we have an altar from those from which who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest are burned outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Jesus not only died for our sins to take them away, but he carried them away. Amen. Psalms 1 something, 03. Amen. As far as the east is to the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. That's as far as your sins can be taken away, never to be remembered against you again. To be in the Jewish way of thinking, to be outside the gate, was considered a disgrace to the Jews because it meant being separated from the community. And the author exhorts his readers to take on Christ's reproach or disgrace. In essence, the author's command to go forth to Christ was a command to abandon Judaism and accept Christ. Because most of the Jewish community, or many of them, did not accept Christ as the Messiah, as a Savior. They believed he was a good man, that he did some great things, but they didn't believe he was the promised Messiah, the old prophesied in the Old Testament. But today we know him as Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Amen. That's who he is. He's the Messiah. And anyone in the Jewish community found with Christ outside the city gate would be considered outside the Jewish community. My friend, you don't want Jesus to be outside the gate with you. You want him to be in you. Welcome in you. Amen. And Jesus would die on the cross, and those hands which were driving, spikes were driven in, driving to the cross, nailing him to the cross. Those hands reached out to me. It reached out to you there when there was no reason to. We were sinful, unclean, unfit for God's holy heaven, yet he reached out to us just like he reached out to the leper. Nobody wants to touch a leper. Nobody, don't come near me. I'm unclean. I'm come. But Jesus touched him. He went further. Amen. He didn't say, it's okay, buddy. Just stand back there and let me pray from afar off. No, he reached out and touched him. Amen. What does it mean to be unclean before God? It means to be spiritually unacceptable to God in heaven. You don't want to be spiritually unclean when God has done everything to make you clean and me clean. Because heaven is holy, and seraphim, angels of God, cry out night and day, holy, holy, holy. Revelation 5:11 says, then I looked and heard the voice of many angels. This is a picture of the throne room of God here. Around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. I think there are many angels. And saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. My friend, I thank you. I think if you're not comfortable with praise and worship, you won't be at home in heaven, because it'll be full of worship and the praise of God continually. It'll never cease day and night. And my friend, you say, well, I don't want to pray. I don't want to worship God for eternity. In heaven, I might get tired. My friend, when you see the Son of God, the living Son of God, resurrected in his holy power and his grace, we're going to fall at his feet and cry holy and be glad to praise and worship him all for eternity, forever and ever. Hallelujah. You want to be cleansed. You want to be clean. What does it mean to be clean before God? It means it's for the righteous, the pure, the redeemed, those whose lives have been made righteous. Nobody just suddenly becomes righteous. You have to be made righteous by God. You have to be made acceptable to God. You can't make yourself acceptable. You have to let God do that. Amen. And we cannot be righteous by our own works. We cannot work our way to acceptance in heaven. That right had to be paid for in blood. Isaiah 64:6, you've probably heard it many times. We are all like an unclean thing. Doesn't that make you feel wonderful? But before Christ, that's the way God sees us. That's the way he sees anything. Anybody. We are all an unclean thing, and all of our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. Amen. And we all fade away, or fade as a leaf in our iniquities, and like the wind have taken us away. It's like a puff of wind can take a leaf and push it to you not know where. That's how good our own righteousness is. Not very good. We must have His righteousness. God's gracious offer for cleansing is there. Isaiah 1:18, come now, let us reason together. You know, God is saying to the people of Israel there, let's reason this out together. Your own righteousness is like filthy rags. You're not going to make it to me. You're not going to come to me like you are. Amen. And you say, well, God accepts people the way they are. Yes, you come to Him a sinner, but He didn't leave you that way. He cleaned you up. Hallelujah. And so, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow, and though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. This is a picture of God saying, what is completely filthy, I can clean up and make you pure and white as the driven snow. Amen. That's what God can do, and that's what He does. It's what He would do to this leper. And this is the very heart of the gospel. Jesus came to provide righteousness for us because we couldn't make ourselves righteous enough. You couldn't work your way to heaven. Amen. And somebody said one time, well, I hadn't done quite enough things to get to heaven. You never will do quite enough things to get to heaven. It's been provided. You see, friend, all we have is given. Salvation is given. Eternal life is given. The Holy Spirit is given. A walk with God is given. We didn't earn any of it. God gave it to us. Hallelujah. But this is the very heart of the gospel. Jesus came to provide righteousness for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. And if God sees you through the righteousness of His Son, you are accepted in heaven. Amen. You're a citizen of a heavenly country. Your name is written in heaven. You belong to God. You're His. Amen. Nobody can take you away, but you can live for Him and serve Him and have a place and be accepted by God in heaven. Praise the Lord. Paul puts it this way, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. From faith to faith, just as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Amen. And so we come to God in faith. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. So you don't want to live under the wrath of God. You want to live under the acceptance of God. Hallelujah. God made that possible. Also, God must be approached in faith. The leper had no doubt of all the miracles he had heard of people with impossible ailments Jesus had healed. Perhaps he thought, if I could just get to Jesus, leprosy is healing possible. Is healing really possible for this? He said, I know God, I know you've done great things. I know you've made the lame to walk. I know you caused blind eyes to see. I know you caused deaf ears to be unstopped. But leprosy, Lord, can you really do this? But he came in faith and he said, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. So he came in faith. He heard all the stuff and now he must have it. I'm sure in his mind, I'm going to die anyway. I'm dying right now. I'm decomposing. My body's running out of blood cells that it needs to keep me going. The last thing, if I have this opportunity, I'm going to get to Jesus some way or another. I'm going to cry out to Him. I'm going to do everything I have to do to get there. And he got there. Praise the Lord. And Jesus stopped and heard his cry. And God still hears the cry of every person today. And he hears whatever you're going through or whatever you're walking through. It's not too big for the God that I serve. He's mighty in power, able to do exceeding abundantly above all we may ask or think. That's a lot. Praise the Lord. Maybe today you're asking, is my problem too big for God? Does God, with millions of people around, really care about me? Yes, He does. We hear today of people faced with the impossible odds. get down to home, your home maybe, debt out of reach because of medical expenses or too much liberty with a credit card, ruin marriages, ruin relationships of all kinds. A world that is unclean before God, but with God, nothing is impossible. A few years ago, one of the missionaries that we now support, and he doesn't do this ministry anymore, but he was in charge of prison ministry at the time, Nathan Timmerman, and he was preaching on death row. And in this facility that he was teaching in, this prison, he was preaching in, these people were on death row. I mean, they were going to die eventually anyway. It didn't matter. They could not be released. They didn't have the possibility of parole in some future time. They were there doing life, and they would go to prison, stay in their jail cell, and they would die there. And so our missionary preached there and preached to the people on death row, and he said, finally, a man in the congregation there said with a longing heart, he said, "Preacher, is there any hope for me? You're on death row. Is there any hope for me, preacher?" That man was led to the Lord. His life was changed. He was saved. He stayed in prison, but he was changed, given what no man could give him, gave him hope. Nothing is impossible with God. The leper here probably was told there's nothing he could do about, nothing Jesus could do about this, but he believed there's nothing that Jesus couldn't do. In the Old Testament, God asked the question to Abraham. He says, "Abraham, is anything too hard for the Lord?" No, I don't think anything is too hard for the Creator. Amen. You may say today, "Well, I've sinned one too many times. I've messed up. I've failed one too many times. Is my sin too big for God to forgive?" No, and he's not encouraging you to keep on and go on sinning, but he's saying, "I will forgive you because I haven't run out of grace. I'm full of grace and truth." And I know grace has been taken a long way in some theology, if you could call it that. Amen, that you can just sin all you want to. All the carnal being, the carnal flesh wants to sin, and you're okay because your sins have been all forgiven forever, past, present, and future. But the Bible says, puts an if there. He says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He didn't go say sin all you want to, all the flesh wants to. He's saying God is willing to forgive, and God never quits. He never runs out of grace. Praise the Lord. You and I do sometimes, but he didn't. And so this leper here, Jesus reached out and touched him, and he said, "Be clean." And leprosy left him. All the disease and sickness was under the authority of Christ. If Jesus spoke, it had to go. Couldn't stay. That's the kind of authority I like. Praise the Lord. God is willing. The man was surprised. No one's supposed to touch him. Verse 3 says, Jesus put out his hand and touched him and said, "I am willing. Be cleansed." Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. The man was surprised. No one was supposed to touch him or even come close to him. He was supposed to shout out, run people off. "I'm unclean, I'm clean, unclean." But Jesus touched him. I'm glad the nail-scarred hand of Jesus is still able to touch people. He's touched you. He's touched me. Praise the Lord. Today in a spiritually depraved society, a society that knows nothing of being spiritually pure, God calls out to everyone. I'm reminded of the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Amen. I don't have it marked here. Should have. Preacher's supposed to know beforehand. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And God saved people there in Corinth that were involved in awful sins. All sins, just sin to God, but awful sins. 1 Corinthians 6. And he names all the sins these people were. These weren't just sins. This is a lifestyle they were committed to. And Paul says to them, "Do you not know that unrighteousness will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." You know, Paul was probably saying, "God, can you do anything with this bunch? Can you do anything for these people? No, he wasn't saying that. He knew what God could do. He was experienced it himself. And he says, such were some of you. Not such are, but such were some of you. He didn't go back and say, you can be saved, drunkard or saved, covetous person or saved, extortioner. He said, such were some of you, but you were washed, cleaned up. Who did he clean up? He cleaned up all kinds of people there. Amen. You read it in verses 9 and 10. These kind of people God cleaned up. Such were some of you. You were washed. You were sanctified, meaning separated from evil and devoted to God. And you were justified, declared not guilty, in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. There is nobody God can't clean up. Well, you don't know my relative that needs cleaning up bad. No, I don't. But God knows them, and God's able to clean them up just like he cleaned you up. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so this leper was completely cleansed, and Jesus did a work in his heart. Amen. And so Jesus made the unclean clean. And he's still able to do the same today. The unclean can become clean before God. Amen. And we think, well, I've just gone too far. God can't do this to me. Yes, he can. Have faith, believe in him, trust in him. God can do this for you. And he can make everybody clean. You say, well, I was saved 40 years ago, so I don't need cleaning up anymore. Oh, yes, we need cleaning up pretty periodically. I'm not going to ask how often here. But I know I've had to go to God and forward and say, God, forgive me for what I said or did or thought. Clean me up. I can tell you the precious blood of Jesus makes you whiter than the driven snow and ready and acceptable before God. My friend, are you ready? Are you glad you're on your way to heaven? Who would want to be on the way to hell when God's provided means by which we could be accepted in heaven? Amen. You're accepted in the Beloved, Ephesians 1. Amen. So God is able, and God will, and God cares, and God wishes to leave nobody out. Not even you, not even me, not even anyone. For he came to save the lost, and to bring us. And he came to bring the repentant back to him. He came to clean up those that weren't sanctified enough. He came to clean up those that are more sanctified than sanctified. Glad God's cleaned us up. Praise the Lord.